This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The reason I'm prepared for this position is because I've been preparing for this all my life.
Our goal is to compete and really put a fun team on the court that really gets after it.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
We're very talented. I mean, when we go out there and compete at a high level and give a lot of effort, we can be a good team.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Your Houston Rockets improved to 9-9 on the season after an explosive second quarter, the third most points in franchise history, cruising to a 126-112 win over the New Orleans Pelicans. What is up and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your very next order. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as the blog at ClutchCityCR. And speaking of the blog, if you follow the blog, joining us today to break down this Rockets-Pelicans game is none other than Zach Zola, the mastermind behind so many of the amazing memes and content for Clutch City Control Room on Twitter. What's up, Zach? How's it going?
What's up, Jackson? Well, mastermind. I wouldn't call myself a mastermind. I'm more of a student of Twitter. I learn from the best like you. All the memes, it all comes from you, Jackson.
Oh, well, hey, that's high praise for me. And I, you know what, you might not call yourself a mastermind, but I would call you a mastermind. So we're going to roll with that. But we've got so much to talk about from this game. So many amazing takeaways from this one. It was kind of an interesting game. I'm not a fan of these rocky starts that they've been getting off to. Somebody compared it the other day on Twitter that they would trade, you know, in a heartbeat. They're actually not upset about these rocky first quarter starts compared to the, couple years back, those third quarter collapses that were so consistent, a very consistent theme of Rockets basketball. So we'll get into some of that a little bit later on, but some of the main takeaways just from this one, I guess just right out of the gate, if you're looking at the box score or just kind of thinking about the game, who would you put up or nominate as your Rockets player of the game in this one?
It's Christian Wood, no question. He finished with 27 points and 9 rebounds on a ridiculous 11 of 13 shooting, made 3 threes when New Orleans started kind of giving him that three. They were backing off of him, going under screens, giving him that shot. They gave that same shot to DeMarcus Cousins, who miss them, obviously, but Christian Wood came in 3 of 4 from three, and he really stabilized this Rockets team in the second quarter, I thought, him along with John Wall, and then obviously Victor Oladipo came in. But Christian Wood, you just felt his imprint all over this game. He was getting anything he wanted, played some really good defense, and was a great force for the Rockets.
Yeah, Christian had hit 16 of his points in that second frame, which is just, you know, entirely impressive. And matching that 16 points in the second quarter was also Victor Oladipo, who finished that quarter with a bang. And we're going to talk more about that second quarter and kind of how these guys really, you know, got off to, or I guess turned this game around, because it was a huge turnaround. We're going to talk more about that in the second segment, but few kind of just general updates. So as we're recording this Sunday evening, we did find out, unfortunately, that David Nwaba, who twisted his ankle, in the later part of this game and did not return. We got word from the Pelicans, you know, beat writers, reporters who were kind of on ground in Smoothie King Center, you know, saying, hey, Nwaba's hurt. We heard from Coach Silas that he doesn't really expect him to play either of these next two games against the Thunder, which is a huge blow, unfortunately, to this team, because I feel like the one area that we're seeing is, as far as the way this Rockets team is playing, you know, maybe these rocky starts and then the reason that they're kind of finding their footing, you know, in the second quarter of games is because the bench unit has been a big reason for the success of this team. And David Nwaba is a huge part of what's going on there. I think I had his box score pulled up, or like his advanced numbers pulled up, and the Rockets in this game, when David Nwaba was on the court, had an 80-something defensive rating and 130 offensive rating, which is just unbelievable because he impacts both sides of the basketball and does it really, really well. And I guess one area that I've been entirely impressed with him in is his three-point shooting has ticked up a little bit, but he also is just really smart about finding ways to be effective offensively, whether it's, you know, getting a turnover defensively, getting out in transition, or just cutting at the right time offensively. The offensive boards have been refreshing for him. You know, his engine doesn't quit. And I really think that he is the heart and soul of like that second unit, that bench team, right?
Yeah, David Nwaba has been pretty much a godsend this season. I don't know how much I was necessarily expecting from him coming into the year, but he's such a better offensive player and specifically finisher than I thought he would be. You see him drive to the rim a bunch of times throughout the game, and he always finds a way to create contact and make the layup. He's been really good, obviously, on defense, as you said, but that injury, it hurts. I know coming into the season, one of the biggest concerns was injuries because we had so many guys with injury histories. On a previous podcast I was on, I said that the Rockets could field a starting lineup of guys coming off season-ending injuries, and that has only increased now with the addition of Victor Oladipo. So hopefully David Nwaba is okay, because we're going to need him coming in and heading that second unit.
Definitely. And I think just kind of some other run-of-the-mill general numbers from this one. The wow factor, obviously, we talked about Christian Wood, kind of our consensus player of the game for this one. His uber efficient night, but obviously Victor Oladipo and John Wall, a big part of that trio. Christian Wood post game, being asked by Kaylee Griffin, you know, should the rest of the league be worried about this new big three in Houston? And Christian Wood, all he had to say was, take notice. And I love that. They combined for 62 points in this one. Really impressive outing for them again. And then another guy, let's talk about Jayshon Tate for a minute, because you know, like, yeah. It's just, it's so much fun. Like, look, I love me some Jayshon Tate. I can't get enough of him. And the fact that he does not shy away from anybody, like, you know, and specifically in this one, you know, Zion Williamson, right? Zion Williamson is, you know, he's lit, right? He's listed at 284. They were talking about it on the broadcast. I think that that's generous, because that man is at least 300, you know, lumbering around. And that is, I mean, it's just a lot to go up against. And Jayshon Tate had no problem with going up against it. That play where he contested the shot from Zion right before and then took it straight to his chest offensively and like bodied him off for the lay-in was so impressive. I can't say enough good things about Jayshon Tate.
Yeah, that play was insane. My dad and I were watching and our jaws just dropped. He just took Giannis to the rim completely, shook him.
Took Giannis to the rim.
Zion, excuse me.
Hey, well, I'll tell you what. If he's able to do that to Giannis too, I mean, like,
he could do it. He could do anything, this guy. But I want to say Matt Bullard said something during the game. He was talking about how Jayshon Tate doesn't play like a rookie because he has this pro experience in Australia. And I don't know too much about Tate's career specifically in Australia, but I know that he was one of the best players on his team, and he's coming into the NBA kind of. He's not the best player on this Rockets team. Obviously, he's not the best offensive player. But when he has the ball in his hands, he plays like that. He doesn't play afraid, and he's not afraid to take the open shot or drive to the rim. He's not going to just pass it off because he's a rookie. He's going to take control when he has that opportunity, and he's going to make opportunities for himself as well.
Absolutely. Like seeing him, you know, secure a defensive rebound and then really push the pace in transition, I think that one area that we're seeing from this team is – there's a willingness for almost anybody on the roster, just down the entire line, where they grab the defensive board after getting a good stop, and then they just all take off in transition. And so many different guys down the line are able to like run the break. There's still moments where they're looking for Wall or looking for Oladipo or Gordon to get the ball into the hands of a, you know, quote unquote legitimate ball handler. But there's plenty of other times where Nwaba or Tate or Sterling Brown, whoever down the line, Daniel House Jr. a little bit, they grab the board, they just take off in transition. And by not delaying and like, you know, stalling, looking for their ball handler and just going, they're getting so many easy opportunities in transition and really pushing the pace, which is where this team thrives. That's how we saw them, you know, kind of bounce back a little bit in that second quarter, was getting defensive stops, pushing the pace in transition. But just to revisit really quick, didn't even get to it yet, Jayshon Tate stat line in this one: 13 points, 9 boards, 6 of 8 shooting, had 3 offensive rebounds in this one. David Nwaba also had 3 offensive rebounds in this one. Just going to say, I mean, just both of those guys, it has to be hell, like trying to box those guys out. Like if you're the opposing team, like defensively boxing those guys out, because they just come at you with so much intensity and to quote quote Matt Buller, right? The Huffert, the hustle and
yes,
effort.
Yes.
Those guys are absolutely maximum Huffert guys, and I'm absolutely here for it. Now, I do want to talk about, with Zach coming up here in just a moment, that explosive second quarter, some of the little nuances that we saw in that second quarter, and we're going to get there in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at Blue Nile. This episode is brought to you by 1010. Now, you may have read about this in New York Times and Style Magazine or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring. They're available now exclusively at BlueNile.com, and when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're ready to mark a special commitment or looking for a unique and meaningful way to celebrate Valentine's Day, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings is now available exclusively at BlueNile.com. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, joined by Zach Zola of Clutch City Control Room. Now, Zach, this second quarter explosion, which to reiterate, 48 points in a quarter, the third most points all time in a Houston Rockets basketball quarter. First off, it was a welcome reprieve from that first quarter because they only put up 27 points in that first quarter and things were looking really, really rocky, you know, at one point in that first quarter. Thankfully, they ended on a bit of a stronger note, but they were down by as many as 11 points to the Pelicans. And then they just came out and it was like the energy had just hit completely differently with this team. And they looked absolutely elite. They were getting stops defensively. They were making almost everything offensively. What kind of stood out to you in this quarter?
Yeah, so obviously towards the end, it was the offense that stood out to me. I mean, ending with 48 points in a single quarter is ridiculous. But I think it definitely starts with the defense. And I kind of want to talk about the defense because we have the number one defense since the James Harden trade. It's been so exciting to watch this team kind of come together and play hard defense every single night and every single play, which is something that it has been compared to years past. It's like, with Harden, you had to kind of talk yourself into him giving effort on defense in the sense that if he took plays off and he took games off, we as fans could kind of step back and be like, oh, he just didn't have it tonight. He'll come back the next night and it'll be fine. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt. With this team, every single player is going to give you that effort every single night. And if for some reason someone gets beat on defense, a matchup isn't great for them, we have so many guys that could come in and take that role, sub in and maybe play better defense for that specific stretch. With Harden, you're never going to take him out for a missed defensive assignment or anything like that because he's the star player. With this team, you have a lot more freedom on defense to kind of run different things and get everyone in there and make an impact.
Absolutely. I mean, and I think it all boils down to everybody on this team really is playing for something. You know, shout out fellow Clutch City Control Room contributor LaShard Binkley, who has dubbed this team the Redemption Rockets with red in all caps, the Redemption Rockets, because everybody's playing for something, right? You got so many guys who are trying to fight back from these, you know, really, you know, terrible injuries or just guys who have been overlooked, undrafted, you know, spent time overseas, all sorts of different stories for this Rockets team. Now, as far as this quarter goes and like some of the X's and O's specifics, shout out for another shout out to Frank on Twitter, who basically, you know, pulled this highlight talking about the switching and how I've been highlighting that the switching has become almost subconscious defensively. And it's true. Like there's moments where this team, you know, one guy is beat, like you said, but you know, another guy quickly recovers for them. And then, you know, they're finally getting to that point where they're gelling defensively and they're able to get these stops on a consecutive basis. It's not just, oh, we got, you know, one stop and then, you know, we're going to let them rattle off 8 points in a row. It's multiple stops on multiple possessions. One area that I do still want to see them improve in is the defensive rebounding. And I think that's an area that... Yeah, like, you know, it's not, look, they're on a 5-game winning streak. It's awesome. And, you know, they're back to, you know, 500, but it's not, this team is far from being perfect, right? We're seeing glimpses of this team being elite and glimpses where this team can really, you know, you can reasonably think that this team down the line is going to be an issue and be a problem for other playoff teams down the line. Because at this point, I'm really leaning the way that, you know, I genuinely believe that this team is going to be a lock for a playoff spot. And when I say a lock for a playoff spot, Zach, I mean a top six seed. So not even a play-in tournament seed. I mean,
no pun intended. Wow.
Yeah, no pun intended with the wow factor. But reasonably, do you think this team has what it takes to be a shoe-in for the playoffs and not just a play-in team?
Yeah.
Or do you think it's too early to tell?
Well, I was thinking about this team earlier, and I see a lot of like OKC Thunder vibes from last season, in the sense that one of our leaders is, I guess, an aging point guard who's a former All-Star and kind of on a redemption season. You have a young star, Christian Wood, to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's kind of given the reins of this team. We have a bunch of Dort guys. We got Tate, Nwaba, Sterling Brown, a bunch of those guys. And then we have PJ Tucker, who's like a Steven Adams type figure, been there, kind of the enforcer guy. So I imagine us having a season very similar to what the Thunder did last year, and kind of being high effort, high intensity, and just really competing every single night and making it really enjoyable for fans and really making a push as a team. So I do see us as a legit playoff team. Obviously, there are things that could happen. We still don't know what's going to happen at the trade deadline, for example. But I really like the direction that we're going in now.
And to circle back, because we can, you know, this, and look, this is what happens with podcasts. Sometimes we, you know, fall down a rabbit hole, and that's exactly what just happened, but whatever. I do want to circle back to talk about, you know, this specific second quarter and the surge that got them not only back into this game, but then in dominant control of this game. And offensively, one of the areas that I think we're seeing some improvements is, you know, I really was wondering when Victor Oladipo became a Houston Rocket, one of the questions that I wanted to ask him when I was, invited ever so rarely to one of the Rockets press conferences, I wanted to ask Victor Oladipo whether he felt more dangerous with the ball in his hands or when he played off ball, because there's certain players that really thrive in one of those roles over the other, and then there's certain players that can do both really effectively. And so far, I really think that we're seeing Victor Oladipo being able to thrive in both roles. Specifically in this one, we saw Victor Oladipo nail a couple threes coming off of those screens by Christian Wood, where the long-lost fourth ball brother, John Ball. Anyways, okay, so when John Wall had the ball, Dr. Seuss, now, okay, anyways, when John Wall had the ball off on the wing, and Victor Oladipo kind of runs this little pattern where he comes up from out of the paint, and Christian Wood throws a little flare screen at his defender, and then Wall kicks the ball over to Oladipo so that he can rise up for a three right at the top of the key. I think we saw him hit a couple of those in this game. Yeah. But at the same time, we also see Victor Oladipo very willing to and capable of putting the ball on the floor. He's very comfortable as a ball handler, and he's really showing his chops as a facilitator as well. Just, you know, I think, I've got my second quarter stats pulled up.
He played 6 minutes in the second quarter, ended with 16 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists with 1 block.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. He only played 6 minutes in that quarter and did all that.
Yeah, and I mean, for the game, he walked away with, 7 assists for the game? Yeah, 7 assists for the entire game. He is really showing a versatility, which is, you know, this harkens back to why, you know, myself, probably you, many others were like, if James Harden would just give this team a chance, right? If James Harden would just be willing to play off ball a little bit,
right. That
versatility that we're seeing out of Victor Oladipo, being able to do both roles and kind of succeed either way, it's great to see. And John Wall is obviously the floor general, the leader, the facilitator on this team, but they're both really gelling now offensively and finding their way over the last handful of games. Let's see, I've got John Wall pulled up. Since John Wall came back from sitting out and has, over the last 4 games, you know, part of the 5-game winning streak, Wall is averaging 16.5 points, 7 assists, and 2.5 rebounds on, 40% shooting from the floor, which I'd like to see come up a little bit. But the big number that stands out to me is 35% shooting from three. And then Oladipo, over the last 3 games, since he sat out the one at Dallas, is averaging 21.5 points per game on, 43% shooting and then 32% from behind the arc. So if there's one area that I want to be critical of, it's Oladipo's three-point shooting hasn't been that great, but I think we're going to see it kind of steadily improve as we see him getting more of those off-ball opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, Victor Oladipo in the second quarter did a lot of things that we hadn't necessarily seen from him. Like, he hit two pull-up threes in a row, including the buzzer beater to end the second quarter, and just put a cap on what was an amazing quarter. But he looked really comfortable in the offense, and we've seen flashes of him. The first game that he played in Houston was obviously amazing. But then I think since then, this game and specifically that quarter was really the most comfortable I've seen him look in a Rockets uniform on both ends of the floor. Like, let's not forget, we've never seen a backcourt like be able to play defense like this. John Wall and Victor Oladipo are two elite perimeter defenders, and they've been wreaking havoc on the defensive end. And you saw it in that second quarter, and it leads to fast breaks, and it leads to open drives, and it leads to open threes. So I've just been loving that pairing. I think they work really, really well together. And as John Wall always says, it's great to have guys that buy in, and that is Victor Oladipo.
Just continues to throw shots at James Harden, which at the end of the day, like,
trademark.
There's a certain feel, right? And I'm sure it's going to become kind of an old song and dance if he's still doing it like a month from now. But at the same time,
it's a bit at this point. It's a bit.
It could be, right? It's just like Eric Gordon jumping on Twitter and saying, this is fun. Like, I mean, you know, him subtweeting all of us with the Eric Gordon memes. But legitimately, like, Harden throwing this team under the bus a bit to finally get his trade request and get out of Houston. Like, that's kind of the fire that I think is fueling a chunk of these guys. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if that's like that was like a bonding point for this team, right? Harden kind of threw this team under the bus, you know, wanted to leave, was disrespectful, you know, from the get-go of this season. And, you know, you can still appreciate Harden and his greatness as the second greatest Houston Rocket ever and still be displeased with how he left the franchise and the state that he left the franchise in. And obviously John Wall's displeased, and he's using that as like fuel to the fire to kind of, you know, I guess add another chip to his shoulder, right? First he's got the injury, then he's got Washington, who, you know, wanted to trade him and unload a first round draft pick to do so. Very similar to the Chris Paul scenario, albeit less draft capital, you know, trading Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook. So that kind of, you know, is lighting a fire underneath him, wanting to have that redemption season. Then you've got James Harden, who says the team's not good enough, all that stuff. And so it all plays into, you know, this team and the whole playing with a chip on their shoulder, the culture, the mindset, the mentality, all of that. And the results are speaking for themselves on the floor. As far as that second quarter goes, the Rockets posted a 73.3 defensive rating that quarter and a 160 offensive rating. That is ridiculous. Those are insane numbers to think about.
Yeah, it was an amazing second quarter. And to me, kind of going back to your point about fuel, if there's one person who should have fuel about the Harden situation more than anyone else, it's really Silas. And it's been a joy to watch him these past couple games, finally given an opportunity to coach. You saw him at the press conference the other day, stick his arms in the air. Obviously, that was in relation to the starting lineup being the same. But it's nice to have a sense of consistency on this team. And it's great to see Silas really getting the most out of his guys and really getting to show that he is a legit coach in this NBA. And I'm really excited to see how he continues to grow with this roster.
Very glad that he is the Rockets' new head coach, and hopefully he's here for a very, very long time, similar to, you know, kind of Greg Popovich, Rick Carlisle, that type of tenure, hopefully. Now, do want to talk about, and you do, also, great point to bring up, this is this is the first time all season that the Rockets have trotted out the exact same starting lineup in subsequent games, which is amazing to think about, the fact that we are 18 games into the season, and it's the first time that it's happened. So credit to Silas and the entire coaching staff for what they've, you know, one, had to deal with, and then now that they finally have some consistency in the lineup. Yes, there's still been some, you know, pieces moving here and there in the starting lineup, but largely over this 5-game winning streak, they finally got the right pieces in place and some level of consistency. And now, moving forward, that they've got at least their starters in place, you know, prayers up for David Nwaba and his ankle that he's doing okay. You know, they'll have the rest of the rotation pretty much in place. So it's going to be really exciting to see what they're able to take care of moving forward. Now, in this final segment coming up here in just a moment, want to talk about kind of that rocky third quarter a little bit and how they kind of found their footing, as well as some other standouts from this game. We're going to get there in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at betonline.ag. Super Bowl Sunday is almost here. NBA season is in full swing, and there is a great slate of games every single night, and MLB is not that far away either. And there is only one place that has you covered, and one place that we here at Locked On Rockets trust, and that is betonline.ag. You can sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use our promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, for your very own 50% welcome bonus with your very first deposit. Look, you know, you can bet on games, individual games. You can do futures bets. Right now, the Rockets are plus 725 to win the Southwest Division. So if you believe in WOW, if you believe in this Rockets team and what they're going to be able to accomplish this season, I would go hit that bet immediately. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your very first deposit. Bet online. Your online sportsbook experts. Quick message from our friends over at Built Bar. Look, with protein bars, right, before Built Bar came along, I was never a big fan of protein bars. It was always kind of a chore to eat them, but now I actually even look forward to getting to enjoy my protein bars because Built Bar isn't like a traditional protein bar. It's basically a candy bar that's jam-packed with protein. I mean, the bars are delicious, they're soft, they're easy to chew, they're covered in 100% chocolate, and the flavors, oh my God, the flavors. They've got so many different ones to choose from. 18 amazing flavors. My personal favorite, the double chocolate, can't go wrong with it, but they've got so many other great ones. German chocolate, raspberry, carrot cake, cookies and cream, caramel brownie, you name it, they've probably got it. Right? And these bars, they're amazing whether you're trying to lose weight, maintain weight. They're low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. Amazing for a keto diet. Again, every single bar has anywhere from like 16 to 20 grams of protein in each one. And you can check them out. Just go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your very next order. So again, that's promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Getting ready to talk about this, continuing to talk about this Rockets-Pelicans game, 126-112 in favor of the Rockets, improving to 9-9 on the season, now 4-5 on the road, back to 500 overall. Now, Zach, as far as this game goes, you know, that second quarter was super impressive, and it was a great thing to see, but then they had a bit of a rocky start to that third quarter. And I think you and I are in agreement here where they were able to kind of weather that storm because of their defense. Because even though shots weren't falling and even though they started kind of giving up some points on the other end, I think the Pelicans cut the lead down to 8 at one point. Their defense is what dug them out of that hole. They finally started getting stops. And then they were able to, once they kind of found their shot again, get back into, you know, a commanding lead in this game.
Yeah, this started off feeling like a Rockets game of the past. We get up to a big lead, then it slowly goes away. I think this got down to 8 points at one point in the third quarter. And that was really just Zion Williamson taking over for the Pelicans and kind of getting anything he wanted down low. And offensive rebounds for the Pelicans. You talked about rebounding earlier. And as much as Christian Wood has grown this season already as a defender, he still has a long way to go. As a rebounder, he did have 9 rebounds this game, but he does have trouble finishing possessions, and the Rockets do as a team as well. And that's going to be an issue moving forward because we don't have a very tall lineup. So that's something that we need to work on. But that quarter, that's what started off slow. And then I was really pleasantly surprised to see the Rockets really turn things around and actually get it back up to 17 points by the end of the quarter. So kind of lose no ground because we started at 17 and the quarter ended still up 17. So it was great to see them really show some effort in the second half of the quarter and lock down defensively and finally start making some shots.
Yeah, you talk about Zion. I mean, he absolutely made his presence felt in that quarter. Had 14 points on 6 of 7 shooting in the third quarter. Really dominant display from him. Getting pretty much whatever he wanted, just bodying people left and right. And speaking of bodying people, Jayshon Tate himself had 7 of the Rockets' 24 points in this quarter. And this is where he really kind of had his imprint on the game. This is where he had the, I believe this was the highlight play against Zion, correct? Where, or
yeah,
was that in the second quarter?
Yeah, I think so. No, it was third quarter.
Okay. And so, I mean, you know, talking about Jayshon Tate and just what he was able to do in this game, I guess, and it's not even limited to just Jayshon Tate, right? It's, you know, looking at this team and how they were able to respond to this push by the Pelicans, right? Mentally, there's an edge to certain teams out there, and there's a mentality where, you know, sometimes you'll see a team start to cave and give up a big lead and they start hanging their heads or they start getting down on themselves. And that's not the case with this team. Like, they regrouped, they got back out there, and they didn't start hanging their head. They didn't start giving up on possessions. They stuck with what they're good at, which is, again, the newfound defensive identity of this team is what got them, you know, kind of back in control of this game. And that starts with the leadership, the guys up top, right? The fact that you have a guy in John Wall at the very, who is now the alpha dog leader of this team, and the fact that he is an all-NBA caliber defender, that's the kind of embodiment of what this team does. But even past John Wall, you've got guys like PJ Tucker, who John Wall and Victor Oladipo have been speaking glowingly of as of late. In fact, let's actually hear really quick what John Wall had to say about PJ Tucker.
PJ might not show up in the stat sheets, man, but all the stuff he does and communicating as I'm defensive and taking that challenge, that's a guy you want to have on your team. And some people look why he's getting all these minutes, he's not scoring. It doesn't matter. What he does for our team is what we need. And he has that veteran presence to take the challenge against anybody, battling there, get rebounds. And when due time comes, if he get 5 shots or 0 shots, he's still going to be that same guy. And that's what you appreciate about a guy like him.
And that was John Wall talking about PJ Tucker and what he brings to this team. So, Zach, I mean, when it comes down to it, this team is kind of almost the embodiment of, like, PJ Tucker's personality, right? But it's also not just Tucker's. It's just down the line, they all share that same kind of dog mentality. We've heard it from Jayshon Tate, the junkyard dog mentality. We've heard it from Sterling Brown, him saying that there's a bunch of dogs on this team, that they're hungry. We hear it consistently from John Wall. PJ Tucker is that type of player. That's just who he is. And it's really great to see this group of guys carry that, say that again, it all boils down to this culture that they're instilling. And that's been a total 180, but it's been a refreshing change of pace from the James Harden era, where everything, like, the buck started and stopped with James Harden and that was it. Whereas now it's more of a collaborative team effort of guys.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what has been a 180. It's been the PJ Tucker roller coaster ride of this season. And that's been kind of one of the more underrated storylines, because coming into the year, he was really in the same boat as Harden. He was, like, posting cryptic Instagram stories too, and he wanted to be out of Houston. He was complaining about not getting a contract extension. And earlier in the year, he didn't really look like himself in terms of effort or in terms of even defensive ability at times. And ever since the trade, really, he's been on another level on defense. And then even on offense, we've seen him make really good passes, and he's even taken some drives to the rim a couple times that we haven't really seen from him in the past. It seems like Silas had unlocked some sort of new dimension to the offense there. But in general, it's been really cool to see guys like John Wall and Victor Oladipo talk up PJ Tucker so much and what it means to him. Like, he means so much beyond the box score. Obviously, we all know we talk about this a lot, but that's not really something that we felt was going to happen with PJ Tucker this season, especially early on when it seemed like he really wanted to go. And now it's like, what do you do with PJ Tucker? Because he's such an integral part of this roster, and he's kind of molded the team to all fit his mentality. And that's what we're seeing right now.
Yeah. And I mean, this is and kind of where I'm at, and I've reiterated this on Twitter plenty, but, you know, I kind of felt that it was inevitable that Tucker would get moved either with Harden or not long after Harden. But with where the team is at right now and how highly everybody is speaking of him, you know, I'm at this point where, you know, if the offer's on the table for PJ Tucker, you know, if he wants to be here in Houston, if he's kind of accepted his role here, I'm all for retaining PJ Tucker and keeping his services here in Houston, and hopefully having him retire a Houston Rocket. But at the same time, you know, it's impossible. You know, we can speculate all the live long day. It's impossible to know exactly where a player is at in their mentality unless they explicitly come out and state what they're feeling. And so maybe PJ Tucker would prefer to be in a position where he is playing for a legitimate contender, you know, and able to try and work towards the title, that kind of thing. Maybe he goes to a team, you know, like the, God, I hate to think about it, like the Lakers or Philadelphia or something like that, right? We're just vetoing that. But like legitimately, maybe he would want to play for a contender, but at the same time, maybe he's also just content with this newfound Rockets team, this new look Rockets team that has a persona that really meshes well with what he believes is how a team should play, the effort, the intensity level that they should have on a nightly basis on the court. It's all very PJ Tucker-esque, and maybe that's enough for him, right? He gets his payday with his contract. We're not talking anything super crazy, but an extension worth anywhere in the range of $9 to $10 million a year or something like that. And, probably a 3-year extension, I remember David Weiner on Twitter at BeamaThug saying that the max extension that Tucker could receive at this point is, 3 years, $37 million, something like that. So you could structure it however you want, whether it's a descending scale or an increasing scale, however that would look. I don't know if the Rockets would be willing to go to the max length with that contract extension, because that is a lot for an aging PJ Tucker. But if they can come to common ground on something, I'd like to see him stay at this point, because I don't think you're going to get back equal value for what he brings to this team and what he brings to the locker room, especially for the rookies.
Right. And that's what I was going to say, because if you trade PJ Tucker, it doesn't necessarily mean we're missing the playoffs, but it is, in a sense, a more rebuilding move. If you trade PJ Tucker, you're getting a pickback. You're getting worse for that specific season. And for me personally, while we're not competing for a championship necessarily, I think that the main goal for this season should be keeping Christian Wood happy and giving him the best season possible, because he's our young star. He signed here. He chose Houston. And now we need to choose him, basically. And what I mean by that is, if we're in the playoff race, midseason around the trade deadline, if we're the 5-6 seed, what type of message does that send to your young player if you trade a guy like PJ Tucker, who's like kind of the heart and soul of this team and really making an impact, and kind of saying to the Rockets, okay, we're gonna get worse with this trade, and like kind of sending that message to the team, like, we know we're not gonna get there this season. You know what I mean? I just think that trading him, like keeping him on the roster, would really be a positive step towards maintaining some consistency and maintaining a culture and really grooming Christian Wood to eventually grow within the organization and take over and re-sign once his 3 years are up.
Yeah, and I cannot be overstated how important, I guess, Christian Wood's like happiness level is. And that was my main, as soon as Harden was traded, there were all these, arguments for and against tanking and all that stuff. And my main argument was just, look, you can't suddenly just tank and, give up, because Christian Wood doesn't want to do that. He left Detroit specifically because he wants to play somewhere where he's winning. And as essentially the Rockets' new franchise player, because I really think that's what C. Wood is, John Wall is the de facto leader of this team, sure. And he's, probably the loudest voice in the locker room. But C. Wood is the new franchise guy. And, the fact that we've seen this stellar production out of him this early, he's living up to what he did at the tail end of last season with the Detroit Pistons. He hasn't been, a quote unquote bust. That wasn't a fluke. That was, legitimate production. And we're finally seeing it, continue, as his Rockets career has started. And so keeping him happy is an absolute must. And so I completely agree with you. Now, with the exception, the caveat that if trading PJ Tucker somehow nets you a better player at that position, which I think is largely, I don't want to say impossible, but maybe there's a PJ Tucker deal out there that also includes somebody else on the roster, a PJ Tucker, Ben McLemore deal, and then suddenly you somehow improve the team that way in the here and now rather than just jettisoning him for a pick. Then there's a situation where I could see maybe conceivably a PJ Tucker trade isn't viewed as taking a step back type move, and it's actually to improve the team here and now. That's a possibility as well, but ultimately, I agree with you in the sentiment that if you trade PJ Tucker, the team is probably more worse for the wear in the immediate here and now than they are as far as competition, competing for the playoffs this year, all that stuff. But circling back to kind of, because again, rabbit holes, but circling back to kind of put a bow on this game, some of the other numbers from this game, just, standouts. Rockets managed to shoot 43.5% from behind the arc, which was just incredible. C. Wood, you mentioned early on, was that impressive 3 of 4 from behind the arc. And Coach Silas actually bringing up that We might see Christian Wood, you know, getting more opportunities out of the corners for threes, which, hey, is something that I highlighted on this podcast by saying that, you know, a majority of his attempts from three feel like they're coming from right at the top of the key. And it might be interesting to see him get some opportunities either out of the slot or in the corners, because those are easier threes to hit. And having Steven Silas jump out and say that he might start doing that, drawing, you know, having some plays drawn up where Seawood does get a look out of the corner, specifically those out of timeout execution plays. I felt a little vindicated for that. So just throwing that one out there, but
as he should.
Yeah, I'll take that one. It's a W. But other numbers from this game, 45 of 92 shooting in general, so 48.9% from the floor for the Rockets. They managed to shoot 80% at the foul line, 16 of 20 there, which was significantly better than the Pelicans, who shot just 62%, only 18 of 29 at the charity stripe. The Pels really struggled from behind the arc, 12 of 41 shooting, only 29% there. Zion's night. We talked about his massive third quarter, but he finished the game with 26 points, 7 boards, 4 assists on 11 of 19 shooting. Again, a majority of that, 14 of those points coming in the third frame with the Pelicans mounting their fake comeback. And then for the Rockets, Eric Gordon is a guy that we haven't even talked about at all yet in this one. But I want to spend a moment talking about Eric Gordon and Daniel House Jr., because I feel like off the bench, those two guys, you know, they combined for 22 points off the bench. Eric Gordon was a plus 13. House was a plus 9. And so far, Zach, I've been pretty impressed with Daniel House since his return to the Rockets lineup. What about you?
Yeah, I was going to say I've been pleasantly surprised, because I think going into the year, I had pretty high expectations for House. And then he started off really slow, and I was kind of like, okay, this guy might have plateaued a bit, and maybe even on the downswing it might be time to move off him. But since he's come back, I think it took him a game or two to get settled in, but since then he's been really high energy and actually hitting some shots and making an impact on defense and making some nice passes. He's looked really comfortable within this Silas offense, and I think he has something to prove this year after what happened in the bubble. And so he also has that kind of chip on his shoulder mentality. So I'm looking forward to kind of seeing him continue on this path. And then Eric Gordon, like you were saying, he's been really, really good this year. And I remember before the season, Steven Silas was talking about Eric Gordon a lot and saying that him and Gordon were having phone conversations every day. So kind of that, I guess it may be a little bit of a teacher's pet mentality, if you will, but Eric Gordon has kind of come in and earned Silas's trust and really getting a lot of opportunities. And he's still settling sometimes, but he's really driving a lot more this year and looking a lot more comfortable off the dribble and getting to the rim kind of at will whenever he wants to. And his on-ball defense has been amazing this season. So I'm really happy that he's still on the Rockets, and it looks like he's looking a lot better than last season.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more with the points on those two guys. And I want to highlight one thing that you said before we kind of wrap this one up, and make sure that we tackle any final thoughts or anything. But you know, you dropped the terminology Silas's offense, right? Or the Silas offense. And I feel like some people are still a little bit kind of iffy on, like, what is the Silas offense? And I'll tell you what the Silas offense is. It's 32 assists on 45 made shots. It's ball movement. It's getting clean looks. It's you know, watching these guys actually operate. There's so many, if you're watching basketball, and I think this is something that, you know, some people have developed over time and other people don't, but it's so much more fun to watch everything that's going on offensively rather than just watching the ball. And I think that, you know, one thing that we, you know, had seen for years with James Harden and under Mike D'Antoni as well is, yes, there were, you know, some off-ball motions and actions and things taking place, but largely the offense was heliocentric and geared towards James Harden because of the gravity that he provided as a generational talent, right? He's, you know, LeBron-esque, Giannis-esque, whatever. There's very few guys in the league that generate the level of gravity that James Harden does. And so you gear the offense around that player. Now the Rockets don't have that player anymore. They don't have a James. John Wall does not command the attention that James Harden does. Victor Oladipo does not command that. Even Christian Wood. There's very few players that actually command that level of attention. So what do you do to garner an advantage against your opponent? You have to move the ball effectively, and you have to do that by, you know, making that extra pass, making the right read, having these, you know, these cuts, these actions, these off-ball movements and sequences to get players in spots where they can get some easy, clean looks right at the rim, or, you know, get them these wide open shots with some, you know, off-ball movement, things like that. And I think that the more and more that these guys are going to continue to have these real game reps together, we're going to see that continue. And again, 32 assists on 45 made shots is absolutely incredible. The Rockets were moving the ball well all down this lineup. I think the biggest standout to me is in previous years, right? You'd have, we'll take the 2017-2018 team, for example. You'd have James, who would finish the game with, you know, 7 or 8 assists. You'd have Chris Paul, who would finish the game with 7 or 8 assists. And then you'd look down the rest of the lineup, and there'd be very, very few assists down the rest of the guys. But in this game, I can go down the list, and John Wall has 9, Victor Oladipo had 7, but then PJ Tucker had 2 assists, Daniel House Jr. had 4 assists, Cousins had 2 assists, Gordon had 4 assists, Sterling Brown had 3 assists. The ball is finding the right person, and they're making the right reads. And I think that's been my biggest standout about this team offensively, is that it's just really fun basketball to watch. I'm not trying to be a meme with Eric Gordon, but like it is. Like, it's just, you know, it's very, what is it? It's very reminiscent of Golden State Warriors and how they played during their, you know, during their 14-15 and their 16-17 seasons before Kevin Durant came in and they became much more ISO heavy and all that stuff. And it's very reminiscent of the Spurs of old, the Big Three era, that kind of thing, where they're utilizing a lot of ball movement to find the gaps and the holes in opposing defenses, and then they're getting easy shots because of it. And that's my standout about the offense, or what stands out to me about the offense. You would think that I host a podcast 5 days a week. You would think I wouldn't get tongue-tied anymore, but I still do.
No, but like you were saying in the first segment, I think this all goes back to that kind of when the Rockets get a rebound, with the exception of PJ Tucker, every single guy on this Rockets team can be a ball handler in some capacity. And that just opens up the offense so much. And you know, in the past, it was either Harden or Westbrook had to bring up the ball no matter what, every single possession, obviously Harden or Paul in previous years. And that was kind of like the Westbrook conundrum back when he was in the Thunder, where he was averaging a triple-double because he had to get the rebound because he had to be the one bringing up the ball every time. And that the offense centered around him having the ball in his hands, getting the rebound and driving down the court. With this Rockets team, every single person is capable of doing something. And that's difficult for defenses to react to, because you see Jayshon Tate getting a rebound, and as a defender, you're not expecting this guy to come barreling down the court and either go to the rim or make a pass. You're expecting him to pass off to the point guard, and you can kind of set yourself as a defender and kind of get ready for Tate to, you know, find the corner, get ready. But this next thing you know, Tate's coming at you, he's going down the floor, you're Zion Williamson, he's putting you on your butt, and he's getting an easy layup. So that's been this awesome thing about this Rockets team, kind of having that versatility with all these players being able to do different things with the ball, which is something that we haven't seen before.
And Silas, you know, kind of put it best, and I think that word that we throw around is the word that he had thrown around a lot, you know, early preseason and early season, was optionality. And I think that that's what this team has, is the most optionality that we've seen, you know, out of any Rockets team in previous years, is because you've got so many guys who are multifaceted, who can do multiple things on the floor, whether it be shooting, passing, ball handling, scoring. And I separate shooting and scoring because there's plenty of guys on this roster who can score, but they're not necessarily shooters.
They were shooters against the Pelicans, though.
They were. It felt like everybody was making shots against the Pelicans. But yeah, it's, you know, this Rockets team has a lot of upside, and I don't even think that they've reached their maximum potential yet. I don't think, you know, we've got they're riding a 5-game winning streak now, and I don't think this is a small sample size. I think that, you know, it'll be really great once we see this team up against some legit competition. They're now 3 games into this 10-game stretch where everybody that they were lined up against were either at 500 or below 500, is I think what the records looked like when I looked at this 10-game window. And reasonably, I thought they were going to be probably 8-2 realistically in the stretch, and now they've got the 2 games coming up against the Thunder. And I feel like they're, you know, just a kind of a glimpse ahead, I feel like they're capable. They're probably going to drop one of these games against the Thunder, just because I feel like it's really tough, these little mini series type sets, where, you know, coaches are able to make adjustments and come back and, you know, fit, you know, kind of shore things up game to game. So I feel like if they're going to lose a game or two somewhere in this next 10-game stretch, again, they started 3-0 so far, I feel like it's going to be one of these Thunder games, and then a little bit further down the line, I'm feeling like one of either the Spurs game or the Grizzlies game coming up could be a game that they wind up losing. But otherwise, I mean, they're in prime position to really kind of skyrocket up the standings and, you know, really start making a name for themselves as this, you know, again, new look post James Harden Rockets team, and, you know, start hopefully garnering the attention of eyes across the league.
Yeah, the Thunder game's interesting because now, like, it used to be this big rivalry. Now that we don't have Harden or Westbrook or anyone, and they don't really have anyone anymore, it's such like a weird matchup to kind of think about. And so that's going to be kind of a fun two games there. But yeah, like, we're, the schedule is going to get harder eventually, but it's been fun right now, and it's going to be exciting to kind of ride this wave. And I'm really looking forward to some more Rockets basketball going forward.
And we're going to get to see Jae Sean Tate versus poor man's Jae Sean Tate in Lou Dort. So that'll be fun. Yes. Yeah, so that's going to do it. Zach, go ahead and let the listeners know where they can track you down at.
Yeah, you can follow me at ZachZola1. You can follow Clutch City Control Room at ClutchCityCR. I don't necessarily tweet that much, but I'm going to be tweeting a lot more soon. Hopefully more Rocket stuff about movies. And if you're a fan of The Bachelor or Bachelorette, you can find that coming your way as well.
Locked on The Bachelorette. That's exactly what the show has turned into. Yep. All right. Well, I'll pitch the idea to David Locke soon. All right, Zach, I appreciate you taking the time to hang out today.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Jackson.
All right. For today's episode of Locked on Rockets, that's going to do it. As always, thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked on Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.